I'm Pielo Lumumba here in Paradise Gardens in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. And as we continue our conversations about the continent of Africa and our interactions with the world, a small country is coming into focus, Cuba. Cuba is an interesting country far removed in the Caribbean, yet our involvement in the continent of Africa is of a monumental kind and monumental impact. And it's important to give it a little historical context. It is at the same time that many African countries are agitating to regain political independence. The historical circumstances is that Sudan has just regained our independence in 1956, Ghana in 1957, and the 1960s are then characterized by a wave of independence. And the emblematic period at that time is that Fidel Castro is then seen as a revolutionary of the international kind, and his dalliance with Ernesto Che Guevara, who then actually spends time in what is now the Democratic Republic of Congo, is critically important. And in those early days, there is the struggle because the Soviet Union at that time is seen as being inclined towards Cuba, or some may say it is Cuba and Fidel that are inclined toward the Soviet Union, and they are only a few miles from the Americans during the Kennedy administration in the 1960s. And the decolonization begins to take a very different trajectory, particularly in the former Portuguese colonies. It is important to mention this because the Portugal was an interesting colonizer. She was the poorest country in Western Europe, but a colonizer. She is herself going through a period when there is a revolution, the famous Carnation Revolution, that brings in military rule, Marcelo Caetano, Antonio de Spinola, and then they simply run away from their colonies. Their colonies in Africa are Guinea-Bissau and Cabo Verde, and of course Angola and Mozambique. And they run out of those countries with a view to ensuring that there is chaos. And no sooner have they run away than they instigate the apartheid regime in South Africa. And that is why the relationship between Cuba and Africa begins to manifest in earnest, particularly with MPLA of Agostinho Neto. So that we see the Cubans coming during that time when the South Africans, through what is now Namibia, have invaded Angola, and they need the support of the Cubans at that time. But it's not only Angola that is involved at that stage. If you go down to West Africa, Amilcar Cabral, who is the leader in Guinea-Bissau and Cabo Verde, is also involved in the struggle against the Portuguese, and he receives support from the Castro administration in Cuba. And not only that, you see that in Mozambique with the rise of Eduardo Mondlane and ultimately Samora Moises Machel, we begin to see the rise of the frontline states. The frontline states at that time, of course, are critically Zambia with Kenneth Kaunda and, of course, Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere in Tanzania, who are offering safe havens for the freedom fighters. You find individuals such as Mondlane are to be found in Tanzania, and even the African National Congress at that time, with individuals such as who are out, they are not in jail, such as Oliver Tambo, they are beginning to get support from the Cuban forces and Cuban military training. And that in itself then becomes a very critical thing in terms of the training of Africans. Subsequently, of course, perhaps the word subsequent is not the right one, but I use it regardless. You see that when the Ian Smith regime in what was then Rhodesia and is being fought by individuals such as Joshua Nkomo and specifically Robert Mugabe, the Cubans are involved. So when one is talking about Cuban involvement in the process of decolonization, one must look at it from two levels. Level number one is the level of eliminating classical colonization, which as we have understood and which as we know is the colonization that came after the Berlin Wall and which as we know in certain areas involves military training. And Cuba becomes critical because she has a very recent experience, an experience that is traceable in history to the 1950s and a continued experience because after the emergence of Fidel Castro and other people such as Raul Castro, Cuba faces a blockade from the United States of America, which blockade is still alive today anyway. And they therefore have become masters of fighting neocolonialism. They have become masters of fighting neocolonialism because even when they have regained their independence through the revolution, we will remember the Bay of Pigs incident when there is an actual attempt by Cuban exile with the active support of the Americans to remove the Castro regime. And that training is critical. It is critical because many of the African countries that are involved in the struggle to regain independence are also engaged in guerrilla warfare. And guerrilla warfare is a warfare at which the Cubans are masters. And that is how you then, as I've already indicated, find them in Guinea-Bissau telling people how to fight. You find them in Angola, you find them in Zimbabwe. And this is seldom also spoken about. But there is suggestion that even in Algeria, the Cuban hand was present through individuals such as Ahmed Ben Bella. It may not have been as loud as it was in Angola, but individuals such as Ahmed Ben Bella were inclined towards receiving the support of the Cubans. And that relationship between Cuba and Africa is one that has remained alive, which brings me to yet another scenario which made Cuba very relevant. Up until 1990s, the apartheid regime in South Africa was a regime that was being used to destabilize countries. They were used to destabilize freedom fighting organizations such as SWAPO in Namibia. They were used to destabilize fighting forces such as MPLA in Angola and the use of fifth columnists such as Jonas Malheiro Savimbi, who was being used by the West, and Holden Robato, who was also being used by the West. And further, they were also being used to destabilize freedom fighting movements and to infiltrate freedom fighting movements, Frelimo in Mozambique, and of course ZANU-PF and ZAPU-PF in Zimbabwe. So what the Cubans did was to ensure that they were present. And the beauty of the Cubans is that they were not just giving you armaments. They were present. They had boots on the ground. In fact, for those who know history will remember that were it not for the Cubans, when the apartheid regime was supporting UNITA in Angola, they would have actually captured Luanda in Angola. And it is actually even suggested that there was an armed brigade that was moving towards Lusaka in Zambia, and the Cubans were present. The other thing that is important was the ideological inclination. The ideological inclination of the Cubans was not only because they were fighters, but they were getting certain things right. In the medical field, for example, the Cubans were already demonstrating that they had a unique system of training medical doctors. And that relationship between Cuba and the rest of Africa has remained alive today. So that even as we speak now, We have had Cuban doctors in Kenya. We have had Cuban doctors in Zimbabwe. We have had Cuban doctors in Angola, Cuban doctors in different parts of the world, because they had succeeded in ensuring that people were trained in appropriate and relevant medical interventions. Not only that, in the education sector, many African countries were regaining independence at a time when literacy was not very high. And yet within a very short period of the coming into power of the Fidel Castro administration, they were able to lift a critical mass of the Cubans into literacy and numeracy. And therefore, you find that these particular interventions were also very important in that regard. So when we talk about Cuban presence in Africa, those who do not know are likely to think that it was only military intervention. Those who do not know are likely to say that it was only in order to liberate people from classical colonialism, that it was only important to the extent of fighting against neocolonialism. But the revolution was total in the sense that they were looking at social infrastructure. And beyond that, there was also an ideological inclination. Ideological in the sense that the post-colonial African states were mirroring the administration in their former colonizers. If you look at the former French colonies, they were adopting the Gaullist constitutions. If you look at the former British colonies, there are these constitutions which were characterized as Westminster model constitution. Of course, the Portuguese ran away, so they did not leave very much. The Italians also did not leave very much. The Spaniards did not leave very much. The Belgians did not leave very much. So Cuba, being small, was giving a good example, particularly in African countries where there were multiple ethnicities. And the whole idea of having strong single party states was something that was to a certain extent being borrowed from the Cubans, which model was seen as a resilient model. Resilient in the sense that Cuba is so small and it is capable of withstanding the machinations of the United States of America, which was the leading hegemon in the world. So this interaction was one that gave African countries the confidence that the Cuban model is a model which could be adopted and adapted in a manner that would be relevant to the continent of Africa. It is not lost on me that one of the greatest badges of honor for any African leader was to take a photo with Fidel Castro. Whether it was Mandela, whether it was Muammar al-Gaddafi, whether it was Agostino Neto, whether it was Julius Nyerere, whether it was Samora Moises Machel, whether it was Kenneth Kaunda, whether it was Ahmed Ben Bella, whether it was Gamal Abdel Nasser, everybody wanted to be seen with Fidel Castro because Fidel stood for something, and that thing was that we are going to fight colonialism, and you African brethren, we are going to be present with you. And one of his comrades in arms was, of course, Ernesto Che Guevara, who was very much present in the Democratic Republic of Congo when he was supporting Desiré Kabila when they were fighting the Mobutu administration after they had so very cruelly killed Patrice Emery Lumumba. Cuba is a country that interacted with Africa, and I dare say in some ways continue to interact with Africans in a very intimate way. The conversations about the continent of Africa are many. We have had some conversations. Let us now say goodbye, only to return again as we continue the conversation. Thank you very much.